gotta tell you, Brad, I gotta tell you, this is the first time in weeks where we've both been able to sit down and it'd be a natural time to record for both of us. So folks, buckle up. Prime Zach and Brad are back.
I'm glad you feel that way. Yes. I don't feel prime right now.
Never mind.
So whatever.
I'm feeling good.
But from a timing perspective, you're right. This is a little more normal. So around the time this show gets released, they're going to be scrimmaging.
Right.
But we're recording before then, so we will not have immediate thoughts on reports from the scrimmage. It's not what this is. Sorry. Right. We'll do that probably tomorrow. So what I do want to get into, Zach, we did this for offense yesterday.
Yes.
Defense. Let's take a look, go position by position on defense. And let's talk about the number of guys you're really comfortable putting out there. And let's first start in the interior of the defensive line.
Okay, hold on. So once again, like, I want to define what this is because I do think this is a different conversation.
Okay.
About defensive linemen.
Okay.
There are some defensive linemen where I'm okay if their role is 10 snaps, 15 snaps a game.
Sure.
Do we count them?
Yes.
Because if you tell me that some of these guys are playing 30 or 40 snaps a game, I'm not comfortable.
Right.
But if you're comfortable with 10 to 15 snaps a game, that's fine.
If they're playing 10 or 15 every game.
Sure. That's a role. That's a role that we've seen Durkin and Vontrell use.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I'm not talking about you're up 34 to 10 in the fourth quarter and you're rolling guys through.
Okay.
10 snaps a game is fine. Okay. Interior D line, 5.5.
Okay. My gut without thinking about it is over. So Miles Walker, Cody Sigler, St. Ferrier, Buddy Mathis, Malik Autry, Jordan Crawford, Darian. Yeah, over.
Okay. All right. So all those guys you listed, let's go. 10 snaps a game, great.
And like, I mean, if you're talking about a situation where you need Tavion Branch for 10 snaps a game, sure.
That gets you to 8. That's a lot of snaps.
And then, like, arguably the most talented guy in the room is Corey Wells.
Mm-hmm.
Just young and hadn't been here. Like,
yeah, Pedal, Mississippi.
He's a guy that you think, I think you see in the second half of the season once he kind of, gets his legs up under him.
Sure.
Yeah, this is a solid room. I don't think it has that star power. Pending Sigler. I don't think anybody outside of Auburn knows who Cody Sigler is, which is super fun.
It's great for us.
It's like our secret, right? but I think the floor of this room is super, super high.
Yeah. Cody Sigler reminds me so much of DeMarco McNeil.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Just the way they play and kind of their build and their explosiveness for their thick, their wide body guys, and still a great deal of explosiveness and power come from that. That was my first thought was DeMarco McNeil. Okay, so from defensive tack or middle interior D lineman, let's go edge and end. Let's put those two together. Edge and end. Okay. Yeah, breaking news. Okay.
Yes. Trying to figure out where this got posted.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Thanks for hanging in there with us as we study.
All right. So, okay. Crazy timing because you just said edge and end, right?
Yeah.
Jason Caldwell is reporting that a player that has been taking some strides in preseason camp will be out for much of the regular season with pass rusher J.J. Falk needing surgery following a collarbone injury suffered in a recent practice. Well, there could be a chance of a late return in the regular season right now would be a surprise if Falk returns this season.
Dang.
So that sucks.
Yeah, we were just talking about him yesterday, and what about a potential breakout type year?
That sucks.
Okay. Jaquez Wilkes.
That changes that room, I think. Because, like, we were talking about who could be that third guy. You also hate it for him. Like,
for sure.
I'm shaking up because like he's worked so hard for this.
Yeah, and one of those guys loves Auburn, plays hard for Auburn.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
Yeah. That's a really, really bad break. Well,
I'm processing that information. That's crazy.
Not to make light of it, but I don't know if maybe we shouldn't talk about Atkins or Brown today, being 17 days away from kick. Yeah, we just talked about JJ yesterday. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, he was a big part of
Locked
On this morning too, just because I think he's that important. Like he's worth talking about. Now this is important. Sadly, the other way, because you don't have him.
Well, it increases the urgency for the other guys. I mean, again, if it's
Chris Murray, infinitely more important.
Nate Johnson's got to do it. Jacquez Wilkes maybe has to play a role.
Nate Johnson's so interesting. So, for a reminder, like he was at App State, went to Mizzou, didn't play really at Mizzou, didn't have a role, and then came here. And I said this when we got him. If he had just come from App State to Auburn, I think we're talking about upside and excitement and potential. But the fact that he went to Mizzou and got buried in a pretty deep edge room, changes how we talk about him.
Yeah.
And would so it's like, should that 1 year at Mizzou, like, should we look at that?
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about Nate Johnson. There was, I was watching, I think it was with Vontrell. I think Vontrell was coaching him, which they've done a lot of like switching guys off and like working on different fundamentals throughout the fall. But hey, nice cup.
Thanks.
But Vontrell really like, I think it was Vontrell, talked about, you know, Nate Johnson hit a bag or a sled or whatever. And he was like, man, if you can control that, watch out.
Yeah. Maybe so lots of, so raw talent, raw physical ability. Hey, nice cup.
The thing is, he's older though, so it's not like a potential thing. Yeah. I think he's a senior, isn't he?
I don't know. I'd have to check. All right. Well, then, given this report, how many guys, edge and end, are you good getting meaningful regular snaps? We say
so. Womack,
5.5 again.
Probably under. So Womack, Murray, Smith, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think other guys will get snaps.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's like.
But you're not there yet where you're like, yep, we're good. We're okay.
I mean, you have to have more than three edge guys, right?
Yeah.
And like we saw Riddick with the edges yesterday.
Yeah.
I would love that. Anytime you have the opportunity to sub on third and long, sub Riddick in, like, sure. Okay.
Is there a scenario, Zach, where all four of those linebackers are on the field at the same time?
Yeah.
That's pretty, like, from an athleticism perspective, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, I think there's a scenario of it. I don't know if it'll be like a normal thing because when you go three linebackers, it's usually short yardage. And I don't know if I want Riddick on the field as well in a short yardage situation.
Yeah.
Then in a pass rushing situation where like we're talking about maybe you put Riddick on, you know, the end man of the line of scrimmage.
You're just going to need another defensive back in there.
I don't know if you want Diaz at nickel, right?
Yeah. Although he could. I mean.
Although he could.
He could. Totally. It's the beauty.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The linebackers, like, that's going to be tough for an opposing offense to deal with at times. That'll be great.
Do you go any more than four at the linebacker spot? Like, guys getting regular meaningful snaps per game?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we'll see other guys, but as far as like those relevant, I mean, in most cases, you're only playing two. So,
yeah,
I think it's fun to talk about other things. I question how much we're really going to see that.
Right. In regular, again, the key to this is regularly.
Yeah. Right.
you can have games where you're up a few scores or whatever, and you're getting guys some reps. And we've seen at Auburn before, when you have a particularly deep defensive line, you might rotate a guy in on, or a slew of young guys in on second and 10. Like, you just get them, or until the next first down or whatever, and you get a few snaps here or there. But we're talking regularly.
Right.
How about corner? 4.5.
What are we counting Champ as?
Let's put him in the corner. Let's put him at corner.
Really? Why?
Because we're also going to count him at other spots, too.
Okay, so count him at corner?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dre?
Yep.
Champ? Rayshon?
Yep. Gavin Jenkins.
Gavin? Shamar?
Blake Woodby?
Woodby.
And we're up to 6.
Can I give you one more?
Yeah.
Kamari Todd.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what's regular.
Yep.
But 10 snaps a game? Not be shocked if you saw Kamari towards the end of the season starting to put stuff together.
Interesting. Well, that takes me down a different thought pattern, though. If we see him more toward the end of the year, are you trying to fill a hole? Are you trying to fill a gap that you're not getting from somewhere else? Or are you just,
I don't know.
He can do it too.
That's a good question. I just think, as far as like being available and ready, I think they'll trust him to put him on the field.
Okay. Safety.
So we're counting safeties and nickel here?
Yes.
And we count Champ again?
Yes.
Okay. Champ. Jacoby Matthews. Fred Gaskin. Caleb Harris. Sylvester Smith. Eric Winters. New Boy Fagans. How many was that?
I didn't count? I didn't count. I got sidetracked.
You're just listening but not counting?
Correct.
Let's do it again, okay?
Let's do it again.
We'll edit that out.
No, we don't edit it.
Champ. Jacoby Matthews. His name is Fred Gaskin.
3.
Caleb Harris.
4.
Sylvester Smith. Eric Winters. New
6,
Boy.
7. 7.
Wow.
Man. All right. It's such a, this particular exercise for corners and safeties and nickels, they're just so deep. You really ought to be able to be fresh and at optimum levels against just about anybody.
What a great decision that Durkin has to make.
Yeah. Well, and what competition within the room and what, iron sharpening iron. That's so good. All right. Very good. I like that exercise. Let's talk about 17s after I remind you that it's a scorching sports summer.
It
is. You can make all your picks with Prize Picks.
Yes.
You got women's basketball, baseball, NFL preseason, tennis slams, major golf tournaments. I mean, no better place, all those summer sports picks than Prize Picks. America's number one sports picks app. No better place to run your game this NFL preseason. You got games starting back tomorrow night, and you could take advantage of it. Make a lineup with player stats, pick game winners, spreads, totals, combine your picks on the same lineup, all on Prize Picks. Now available in all 50 states, including Alabama and Texas, Georgia, Florida, California.
Bang, that's big.
Louisiana, Tennessee. You name it. Download the app today. Use the code. If you're on YouTube, it's right there on your screen. CLNS. CLNS, get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Again, that's $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. When you download the app today, use code CLNS. Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Active Wealth Management.
And today's show also brought to you by our friends at Active Wealth Management. Yeah. Yeah. We love Active Wealth here at Village Vice. I also work there. So does Ford. Ford Stokes. You can get directly on Ford Stokes. It's calendar, calendly.com/Ford Stokes. You can also email me directly, zach@activewealth.com. We helped a couple yesterday. With a lot of things. One, they had a ton of questions regarding Social Security because there's a million questions, and in a lot of cases, there's stuff you have access to that like they don't really tell you about. And Ford's like one of 14 registered social security agents in the state. Like, there's not many. And so he kind of knows all the ins and outs on how to work that system. And so if you have any questions regarding that, let us know. And then also October's coming up. October is the most popular month when it comes to bank CDs maturing. And a big thing that we have done historically is say, okay, yeah, you're getting these realized gains from bank CDs. There's a lot better ways to do that immediately. And so give us reach out to us, Zach@activewealth.com. If that's coming up for you, we'd love to kind of go ahead and strategize that with you as far as a way that's truly a better situation for you. So activewealth.com/plan, or just email me, Zach@activewealth.com.
17 days away from kickoff. And number 17 is the most potent jersey number that we have in this countdown. It's your starting quarterback and your All-American linebacker.
What a number.
Which one are you most confident in having a great season?
Byron.
That's interesting to me.
Didn't even hesitate.
I know you didn't, and I think that's great. I wonder if everybody else is as confident, because we just saw Xavier put together an All-American season. Came out of nowhere. We weren't talking about Xavier Atkins this time last year. He comes out of nowhere. He has an All-American season.
Yeah.
And he's got his same defensive coordinator and position coach, and is another year stronger. I mean, he's a national award finalist or watch list or whatever.
Yeah. He's a great linebacker for sure.
I think maybe there might be some in the fan base that are still like, all right, I know because I've seen Xavier Atkins do it in the SEC.
It's a reasonable take. When you look at the linebackers going through Indy drill, and you know who's most vocal and who goes through the order of things, it's not everything.
Right.
But if you knew nothing about this team and you were just kind of placed out there and you're watching the linebackers,
yeah,
it's Elijah Melendez's room.
Yeah.
Now, when they run out there in Atlanta against Baylor, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
But that's been interesting to follow.
I agree. It's been something to watch my under the radar pick, you know, really have a good fall.
Elijah Melendez is such a sleeper this year, according to Brad Law.
And I have a sleeper build, so I understand sleepers. I understand the concept of sleepers. All right, but let's think about if Elijah Melendez has just a stupid breakout kind of year. And let's think about if Bryce Diaz has a breakout kind of year.
Yeah.
You're talking about, no hyperbole, the best linebacking core in the country.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're close now to that. It's just a lot of folks outside of Auburn don't know the other two guys yet. And I think that'll change pretty quickly. And I think with what Baylor's going to have to do to attack Auburn week one, like, I think they're going to get the opportunity to make a few statements for sure.
So how does Xavier's role change with the emergence of and consistency of Elijah and Bryce?
I don't think it does. I mean, he's going to do a lot of will stuff. And so he's going to be the guy who's sent if they, you know, blitz a backer and all of that. So I don't think it's going to change at all.
In that regard, you can pretty reasonably expect another huge year, just another playmaking, havoc creating.
I will say, you know, he led Auburn in sacks last year. I think he had seven. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a great cup that you have there. Sacks, I think, are somewhat luck related, because sometimes you have to, it's based on who they're trying to block and who they're focusing on. I do think they're focused on Keldrick and Kieron more than X a year ago.
It's also, not to interrupt, but like, it's like if he was a spy on mobile quarterbacks a good bit.
Sure.
He's kind of a natural spy. And so you get a guy who's
great
to
at
move.
It. Yeah. He's great at it. And he'll do that again. He'll do that again this year.
Yeah.
I think sacks are a team stat. The individual gets the credit.
Yeah.
But when it comes to postseason, end of season awards and All-American lists and all that, they really look at that. because the people voting can't watch every game. They don't know every player. So they got to look at that. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's how it works.
Yeah.
So does he lead Auburn in sacks again this year? I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
Yeah.
Also wouldn't be shocked if he didn't.
Do you think teams are scheming away from him? Do you think they're trying to scheme away from him?
Who are you more afraid of? Xavier Atkins or Jared Smith? Right now.
Ooh, what a great question. Today, I know where 17 is. I'm looking for 17 before I'm looking for 41 today.
Right. And you're more concerned, are you trying to double Womack? Or are you trying to make sure, all right, you get one guy there and then you put get a guard to the next level?
No, you're right. I'm looking at 17 more than 15. I don't know if I am on our...
I don't think, yeah. And like last year, you see all number 15. You're like, we need to get two hats on him.
Yep. No, that's fair. That's fair. And probably 24 too with Keyron, to your point.
Also think the way opposing offenses treated Bobby Jamis and Travis last year will be more of an emphasis than how they treat Dallas Walker this year.
Okay. Bobby Jamison, Travis, most underrated guy on last year's defense.
I think Bobby Jamison, Travis was a massive reason why Auburn's linebackers were so good.
Okay.
Now, can it happen again? Yes. I'm not saying Auburn's linebackers are bad. I'm going to be very clear with that. But I do think it's more than just the linebackers in this system. You need other things to work for DJ's linebackers to be free.
Are you playing chess or are you overcoaching then to use Atkins as a decoy sometimes? Like he's looking like you're bringing him, you got a scheme for him, and now you're going to bring Diaz or
I don't think you treat anything different if you're DJ. Okay. Yeah. Because I think you take the one-on-one blocks at the point of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you can't win there, like there's another problem.
Right. That's true. Okay. All right. I like it. I like it.
And you've got Cody Sigler. I don't think we had anybody like Cody Sigler last year. So I do think that'll help.
All right. It can be hard to do this kind of thing, you know, to have these kind of theoretical conversations.
You know what else is hard? Do you mind? Do you mind just real quick? Just real quick.
No, sure. You're ready to jump on that topic. No, I don't mind. Hey, you go right. I'm going to Kermit the Frog with my
tea over here. We're 22 minutes in. This might go a little long. Our apologies. Okay. And this might just have been a post-show thing. You know what's hard, Brad?
Moving 3 weeks before football season starts.
Trying to get your food when you go to McAllister's. The ordering process.
Oh, shoot.
They have such a simple menu, but the ordering process takes way longer than it should. And it's not just the one in Auburn. We stopped at McAllister's in London, Kentucky on the way to Ohio a few weeks ago. And we were the only people in there. Okay. And it was the same thing. I'm like, why is it like, I understand if you need to take a second to cook the food, that's fine. It shouldn't take a 5-minute conversation to order a few sandwiches. It just shouldn't.
Yeah.
But man, it is just like the process is, it's brutal. It's so brutal just to order it. The length of time to get the food can vary, whatever. That's fine. They look short staffed. I'm not like faulting that at all, but it's just wild to me how hard it is for them to like actually take your order at McAllister's. And I don't think it's a lack of like ability on, you know, the cashier's part. I think it's their process. It's how they choose to conduct business. And I think it's frustrating and it's really hard to do.
You don't like wasting time. I know that about you. It's one of the things that irritates you the most.
Well, they've just got this long line.
Yeah.
And it's like, y'all don't care.
It's like a train station lobby. Yeah.
It's like, so efficiency's not the thing here at McAllister's. And look, I really like the food at McAllister's. Like, genuinely, I like eating there. But sometimes it's just like, man, it's like, this is going to take a minute. We got an hour and a half. Because once again, it's not how long the food takes there. It's how long it takes for them to take your order.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just want the roast beef sandwich. Like, there's not even any custom parts for that. That's crazy.
They have everybody doing everything there, don't they? Like, instead of, hey, you work on the tea, you work on the whatever else. I don't know. It's been a minute since I've been there. But you grab the chips.
Not a McAllister's fan?
It's just been a while. It's kind of on the other side of town. I don't go there.
Yeah, we have to be over there to go, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel better getting that off your chest?
I want to know if other people have had this thought when it comes to McAllister's and ordering food there.
See, that's what it's the tough thing about the restaurant scene, and it's one of the many reasons why restaurant ownership is just it's so hard to do it well. Because if you have an issue like that, and people
this isn't a staffing thing or an execution by the employees thing. Because I've been to multiple, and it's the same thing. It's the conversation at the point of sale machine,
okay,
that they are choosing to push. It's not a like they can't find the button type deal.
Uh-huh.
It's this shouldn't be a 5-minute interaction.
Why is it such a long interaction?
At McAllister's.
Why is it such a long interaction?
People want their spuds, Brad.
Please don't stop calling it McAllister's. That's terrific. If they improve their processes, they can be McAllister's. But until then, they're McAllister's. What would you change?
The food comes right out. Once again, like this isn't an employee thing. Uh-huh. This is a systems thing at McAllister's.
You've made that point. Okay, great. We got
it. I don't want people to think I'm like pooping on the workers because I'm not.
I know. You're not.
It's a system.
I got it.
This is why processes matter.
How can
this is why you need to be process oriented. McAllister's not process oriented.
That's why you need to be the thermostat, not the thermometer.
Yes. What a bar. What a bar.
All right. I don't know. What would you do different? Do you want to go into what you would do different?
I'm going to ask you one question. And if you get it wrong, the show ends.
Okay.
And if you want more, become a member post show. Be up right after this. What day of the year is free tea day at McAllister's?
Free tea day?
Yeah.
Oh, what was the day of the Boston Tea Party?
If it's the same day, I'm going to freak out because I didn't put that together. Nope. All right. You can promise me you're looking up the day of the tea party. Not,
I am.
Okay. Not free tea day at McAllister's.
Correct. December 16th.
No.
That's not free tea day.
No.
It should be.